Today's podcast, as always, sponsored by JMW Heating and Plumbing Limited. Domestic and commercial gas, heating, plumbing and building maintenance. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week emergency call-out. Covering the whole of South Wales and South West England. You can contact them on email info@jmwheating.co.uk and on the phone 0330 100 5286. It's 10% discounts for NHS and military veterans, 5% discounts for Swansea City season ticket holders and Ambitious Critical podcast listeners. You get a free quotation, they're a safe contractor member and a backseat accredited installer. Also sponsored by Swansea's number one live music venue, The Bunkhouse. You can get all tickets for their upcoming gigs from www.bunkhousebar.co.uk. You can hit them up on all the social medias, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Go give them a like and check out what they've got coming up. Hashtag your gig matters. And finally, Boss Brewery. The Brewery Bar is back and it's bigger and better than ever and ready for the new season. There's a new outside bar for quicker service and it's only 200 metres from the Liberty Stadium. They're now open from the earlier time of 1 p.m. on a Friday through to a Sunday night. There's a new takeaway set up inside the bar with more bottles, cans and also 10-pint mini kegs for people to pick up and drink at home. And that is the advertising for now. We've already done the podcast and I gotta be honest, I really enjoyed it. We had a bit of a flack over doing this podcast. We weren't sure how it was going to go, but trust me, Nathan Martin is a really, really nice bloke. So this is it. Whether you want to listen to it or not, I don't know, here we go. But this is episode 87 of the Ambition is Critical podcast, featuring the one and only Nathan Martin.
Ambition is Critical.
We crack on like this, Mark.
Okay.
So feel free to tell that story about Biggie Morris, because he's a bit of a cult hero on this podcast.
Yeah, is it? Okay, right. Yeah, so I met Biggie Morris in Newport town centre, and I didn't know where he was, being like knocked in Wales.
But he knew who you were.
I think he knew who I was, right? Did he really? Yeah. So he came over to me and he said, can I have a selfie with you? So because obviously when I was in Newport, loads of people wanted selfies, because I realised who I was, and I was wearing my Naked Mountain t-shirt. He came over and we did the selfie, and afterwards a couple of guys said to me, do you realise who he is? And I said, no. I said, that's Biggie Morris. I said, he's really, really big in Wales.
Yeah, yeah.
And the next day, somebody tagged me into a photo of me and Biggie.
Right.
And I thought, this is like a massive thing like in Wales.
Yeah.
I kind of searched him, and I found him on Instagram and stuff, and I realised how big he was. And it was crazy, but I was out of my head when it happened.
It's almost fucking Biggie, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the only way you meet him, I think.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Normally on personal appearances, people get a little bit carried away and they offer me so much stuff and it gets a little bit crazy.
Well, I've got
to live
on the edge of
it, man. Wait till it's the Morris, you're going to know what's in it. It's going to be brilliant. Anything goes at the Morris, you know what I mean? Especially on today when Naked Martin's in.
I did think for a novel that we'd all have like a naked photo to put on Twitter.
That's exactly what I said. But right? When it's Martin Shalala, I'll probably
One, we ain't packing that type of heat. And two, right? Do you remember my boy Googled me? He was in school, my oldest boy. Right. He Googled my name. Yeah. And I got a tattoo on my ass. And he was on Twitter. And him and his mates are in class in school. And they got his father's ass.
On the Commodore 64.
Exactly.
Just before they was playing Mickey's Magic Medicine.
I have to give that name to him.
You have to be really careful about what you do. I'm obviously, I'm naked everywhere anyway, so it doesn't matter for me. But it's like I say to people, you know, you do photos. It's like, if I can just backtrack, I've done over 20 stag do's this year, like bookings and things. I did a stag do in Marbella, Puerto Banus.
Amazing.
And
they did pay flights and everything.
Yeah, they paid for everything.
And fantastic.
They rented a villa in Puerto Banus. And if you've been there, but it's like all like rich and like
really. Yeah.
And they had like waiters delivered like a barbecue and like food and everything.
Amazing.
And to cut a long story short, the stag got a bit out of his head and said, can I sniff some coke off your cock?
Look at that. The only one daughter comes in is Nathan Martin. She's after the groceries. Get out of it, you little fucker.
So I said, okay, yeah, that's fine. And a lot of the guys in his mate said, is it okay if we video it? I said, yeah, it's okay with me. His business partner was there with him. I think he does something in the city.
Don't tell me he's working for Bernardo's.
So, So he said to me, please don't put it on Twitter or right, LinkedIn, because okay. I don't want it anywhere. So I said, that's fine, I won't do anything. And I wasn't taking videos.
Exactly. So I'm on it
with a Coke on my cock. So, literally.
Just sounds normal. Another day, isn't it?
Yeah. Another day in Naked Martin's paradise, as cool your one.
The following day, I was at Malaga Airport waiting for my flight back to Gatwick. Gets on WhatsApp, somebody tags me into a video saying, what the fuck have you been doing, Martin? And there's a video of me sat on the sofa, which you've probably seen.
Yeah, she's
sniffing her coat. And I thought, fuck, he's going to hate that when he sees that. Yeah. He's going to go on the internet.
Well,
and it's all over WhatsApp.
Let's just start from the beginning. One, he's a big businessman doing coke off a middle-aged Englishman's penis as well. So it's not really a good ending to this, you know, the story. Like,
should I start right from the beginning? How I was saying to Ryan in the car, how it's all happened by accident, and none of it was by design. It's, I've been a nudist all my life, or naturist, whichever you want to call it. So I'm really comfortable being nude. That's never been an issue. Nothing.
Did I start like really young?
Yeah, my earliest memories of about 9 or 10, like playing in the paddling pool in the garden with my brothers, and not wanting to put swimming trunks on, and Mum saying, "Put something on." I mean, it kind of carried on into my teenage years, and I would wait till Mum and Dad went out shopping, and I was on my own in the house, and I'd literally take all my clothes off and just walk around because it felt really comfortable to me. It wasn't a sexual thing, it was just being comfortable and just feeling free, I suppose, that feeling of freedom. And it kind of carried on, and you get to that period in your 20s where your kind of work gets in the way and everything. And then it was only then that I got a flat of my own, I moved out, and I thought, to myself, I'm going to enjoy being naked again. And I kind of then understood the naturist thing. And I don't like to label people or myself, but then I went to naturist events and I kind of embraced it more. But it's always been a part of me. So moving on a bit then, it carried on sort of, I've always been a naturist, but I kept it to holidays and home and a few little naturist
events. Yeah, because one thing is, what nudism and naturism and stuff is way more accepted in other countries, isn't it? Because you know, I was in Bulgaria in July.
Yeah.
We were walking past a beach and there's just people just walking around. Yeah. We've got men, women, well, the full shimon.
Yeah, it is like, is it because it's your countries? We were, my last family holiday, we went to a place called Estati. Never heard of it before, never heard of it since. And there was a nudist beach out there. My mother nearly finished my own mind because she was walking around with Tiki in his trousers. Right? It was murder. She went fucking bananas, right? But like you said, is it a big scene in this country, or is it just like...
It's become more and more. I think a lot of people don't identify themselves as naturist or nudist, but who hasn't skinny dipped, or who hasn't enjoyed, even if that brief moment when you've had a shower and you get out and you just sit in the bed and or you lay on the bed and you just enjoy being naked, just maybe 5 minutes before you get dressed. Don't tell me nobody likes that feeling of being...
Oh, fuck, you wouldn't even get anybody playing something violent.
Nobody
wants to label themselves because of that connotation, also because of the effect it can have on your work life, your career.
Yeah, if someone dug into me deep enough, who can find naked photos of me walking around my mate's wedding?
Yeah, easy. It was murder. Ryan was naked in the middle of Wigwam Bam in our mate Louis' wedding.
What the song?
The cameraman's camera off and was walking around naked taking photos
with a tie around his head. Our mate Lucky went back because his auntie became his friend on Facebook, and all she could see was a nephew's penis in the wedding.
My mate said to me the next day, it was cold in that room though, wasn't it? Tidy. But you know, it happens, and people fuck around and all this. The thing is, the difference with you is you're a different step in it. Like, I don't, you were taking it like seriously
part of your life as a naturist.
I guess for me, it's become a lifestyle choice.
Yeah.
And luckily, because my jobs before I became Naked Martin full time were always customer services. I've always worked in call centres, so it's never really been an issue. And before my last employer knew I was a naturist, I didn't make a secret of it. Although there's some people they kind of giggle and talk over it. Most people are absolutely fine about it because it's not like, today it's not such a massive thing. It's until you explain it to people, they kind of understand that it's not, the thing is, being a naturist is nothing to do with sex. And that's what a lot of people, they join sex and nudity together. But naturism is about enjoying life naked, being free. And it's also about the environment. It's about respect for you, respect for others. And just embracing nature, I guess.
So what do you plan holidays around that then? So you go to certain places. Yeah, I can imagine,
yeah.
Because I suppose as us it's not just not something you brought up with, is it? So it's not something you're even used to. You are literally the first
and it's like the
closest I've ever met. Like,
I've got two brothers and a sister, and none of those are, they don't enjoy it. They know I'm a naturist, but it's like it was just me. And I don't know how that happened. It's kind of just
part of it. So when do you have that conversation? Right, okay. Because you're a gay man as well, right? Mm-hmm. AIC breaking down barriers.
This is our first gay man.
There's a few that could
have been. Boxes
well, there's a few that could have been in a closet. Yeah. You know
Bill or Chris is 100% on the other fence, and he, you know what I mean?
You said that, not me, because you could have a backlash if I were. But yeah, is this all at the same time you have that conversation, the naturism, the sort of coming out, or is coming out before that?
The coming out came first, simply because that's a much larger thing.
Yeah.
And that was kind of stopping me, my life choices, and having a... Because I came out quite late in life. I came out when I was about 27, 28.
Yeah.
Which nowadays seems quite late.
So what sort of year are we talking about there?
That was about 1990, sort of early 90s, around that time.
But it would have known way before then.
Sorry?
It would have known way before then.
Oh,
before
I knew I was gay at about 8 or 9.
Yeah,
I
would really?
Say. Yeah, absolutely. But it's kind of, you don't really understand it as a sexual thing. It's just,
of course not.
You know you're different. And I can remember having crushes on watching the TV. My first big crush was Star. Do you remember Starsky and Hutch?
Yeah.
David Soul or the other one?
David Soul.
David Soul, yeah. My mother was into David Soul as well.
My first TV crush.
Yeah.
And I kind of kept thinking to myself, oh fuck, I'm really excited. There were no role models at that time.
Of course,
everybody on TV and the media that were gay in those days were people like Larry Grayson.
So they would have been Liberace. They would have been fruit dealers.
It's all that completely, you know, and it was like, oh, I can't identify with that because I've never been effeminate. I've never been into drag or anything like that. I'm just, you know, to me, in an ideal world, you shouldn't have to explain to people you're gay. Because you don't introduce yourself as straight.
Of course not.
So
yes,
why should I introduce myself as gay? And to me, my sexuality is kind of irrelevant just because of the fact that I fall in love with guys is kind of, it doesn't, you know, it's, I don't really get that. But I guess it's because I'm gay and other people don't understand.
Right.
You know, there still is a lot of homophobia around and, you know, that's never going to stop.
But in the early 80s, Rambo 2, when he would have known, look at like Elton John got married, Freddie Mercury, Freddie Mercury had a girlfriend and all that.
Absolutely.
I think that would be the time, I think. And I think it's far easier now. I think if he was born now, he would have been Martina by the time he was 12. No, fuck, I want to be gay now. They all want to turn transgender, don't they?
I think it's a lot easier nowadays is because the parents of children now are our age and they kind of like
grown up to it.
Where my parents were sort of born during the war, and to them, to be gay was the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
And when I first, I was a bit of a coward. I came out I wrote a letter to my parents.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to confront them, because I knew what the reaction would be, and they didn't take it very well.
No, I'd have thought you would have said then, they fucking knew anyway. They knew.
My mum did say later on, when we did get talking, that she did know, but she wouldn't say anything.
Well, to take that back a sec, because let's say we met for the first time, there's no such thing as naked Martin or anything like that, and I don't know you other than Martin. You don't strike me as gay, do you know what I mean? Strike me as a gay man.
Even with a pink shirt. We all got pink shirts. You rock it to the extreme, do they? Do you know what I mean? But yeah, that's right. There's no, that's spot on.
Yeah, there's not, you know, because, you know, and then you say, maybe there's a slight homophobia on my part and then as well, you start to think effeminate, don't you? You automatically think effeminate. That's not necessarily the case.
Of course it's not.
No, and it's like, and you don't have to be camp to be gay. And I do have, I've got a lot of gay friends who are very camp. And sometimes I think to myself, can you just act normally?
Yeah.
Can you just, sometimes it's an act almost. They feel I have to wear it as,
of course,
a badge of pride. And, you know, I'm not criticising that. Everybody's entitled to do what they want to do. And if you want, you know, if you're camp, you're naturally camp, that's absolutely fine. But I don't feel the need for me to camp it up or anything.
Yeah.
Because I'm just Martin. The fact that I'm gay, to me, is, you know,
irrelevant. Like there's two people I knew that come out as gay, and both were very butch. Until they came out, and then they turned into fucking Jar Jar Gabor.
See, that's my point. Is
that's
like,
crazy how they can go from one to the other.
Why do you have to do that? I don't understand.
Yeah.
It's like, to me, that's not going to get you accepted any easier.
No.
You know, if you start, you know, it's. But each to their own. I don't want to feel like I'm criticising.
Oh no,
no, I don't.
Just picking on camp people, but that's just, you know, everybody's got a choice in life. But I just don't feel like I have to wear my homosexuality as a t-shirt or anything. It's,
yeah.
You know, we got the Naked Martin merchandise.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Speaking of the Naked Martin merchandise,
like, this unbelievably, this is the second week running. We've had a goodie bag.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh, well, I did the right thing by bringing this.
Yes.
Oh, look at this Naked Martin pen. What was handy with the pen? This is my AAC podcast pen.
Okay,
my missus bought
it. You might not go one of them
because my missus bought it for me, not for you.
Naked Martin pens. Amazing. And pièce de résistance, so we've got to the bottom.
Well, everybody wants to get their hands on the t-shirt.
The official Naked Martin t-shirt.
Yeah. I'll be wearing that up the Morris.
I'll be wearing the Morris for that one.
Right. And it looks like the old...
Is this a picture? Is it?
No, some stickers.
Stickers, right.
It looks like the Tunes Life.
Taxi, no.
It looks like the Tunes Life t-shirt that Wham used to wear as well.
I think it's a similar font, to be honest.
Yeah.
That was very kind. If we had any sort of forward thinking, we'd have come up with something we could play with at the corner.
Yeah. Who had a cup of tea, Matt?
In a very fancy mug.
It is fancy, only for the big guns.
What could I
You and Leon Britton are the only ones who have drunk from that mug. So
no, Enzo did the other day.
Oh, Enzo as well.
Enzo Marconelli made it.
Trundle one of that. Trundle one. We're not going to break out the best china for Trundle.
You just don't show, you never know where the fucking
end. Exactly.
So you came out as gay.
Yes.
And how long after that then was sort of the naturism?
The naturism kind of started because I'd moved out of home and I had my own flat at the time, so I felt more in a space where I could do everything that I wanted to do. Because obviously, when you live at home, your choices are limited.
Of course, yeah.
So I came out, which was great. All my friends were amazing. I've got loads of close friends, and I phoned them up and I said, "I've got something really bad to tell you," because that's the way I kind of put it. My best friend Tracy said to me, "I thought you were going to tell me you've got cancer. Is that all you're going to say?" I said, "Yeah, that's fine, okay." I said, "Oh, well, that's all right, don't worry about it. We'll do you a big party, coming out party." So my friends were absolutely great about it. My mum and dad didn't take it very well, and I didn't speak to them for over 6 months, which...
That's quite sad.
Was crap.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah.
I didn't enjoy that very much. But they came around in the end, so and it was nice. I had five boyfriends after I came out. I had boyfriends before that, but it wasn't worked properly. I had a couple of serious relationships. I had a relationship with a postman in seven.
Oh, fuck. Oh, fucking hell. I've just put my bag away.
What's the place?
Was he you a postman?
Was he? He was actually a postman.
It was, yeah.
And he lived in, it's seven, it's just outside Bristol.
I thought he was going to give his address, eh?
Seven Brusby Road.
It's a place. It's Seven as in the River Seven.
I know what you mean, yeah.
It's just on sort of like the edge of Bristol. And we went out for ages, and it really worked well, but it just didn't, it kind of fizzled out in the end. And I met my husband, who I'm married to now, Doug. I met him on the internet, on Gaydar.
Is there really a place called Gaydar?
I'm not sure
it's a thing anymore, but it was a thing in the early 2000s.
So what's that, the equivalent of Tinder?
Yeah, basically, yes.
I got it.
And we met, and he lived in Luton at the time, so it was a little bit of a trek from me, because I have to literally go across London to the other side. And we first talked on the phone, and we got on so well. We were on the phone for nearly an hour. He worked at Marks & Spencer at the time, funny enough, which is... And we kind of just clicked, and that worked really well. Now, I moved up to Luton. I lived up there for 2 years, hated it. Luton was a bit of a dive.
I can't imagine who's strutting around with Tommy Robinson and all the boys. That's not your cup of tea, Matt.
But the best thing about Luton is the airport, as you get out, to be honest. But it made me grow up, because I'm a bit of a small town boy, so it gave me... I don't regret anything I've done in life, because I think it all... Even if you have some bad times, it makes you grow up. It gives you, like... I met so many wonderful people while I were there. I also nearly got mugged. I saw a car petrol bombed. I saw a fire engine having stones thrown at it. And being from a small town, I was like, what the fuck is all this about?
Yeah.
But
different world.
Doug said to me, "Oh, welcome to Luton. This is what happens." Okay.
Yeah. So where are you from?
From Andover.
What's that, like a little village? Like,
no, it's sort of a medium-sized town. Yeah. Sort of smack in the middle between Basingstoke and Salisbury.
That could be fucking Kuwait.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh, we don't know where that could be anywhere.
When you say you're a small town boy, so fucking we don't fucking eat Swansea unless we're going on a piss in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, to be Swansea, it's a big town compared to Anglia.
Yeah,
so it's kind of like, So it was an eye-opener. And when I said to Doug, I want to move back home to Andover, he said, yeah, that's fine, I'll come with you. So we moved back. And then we had our civil partnership in 2006, which was really lovely.
Was it a big deal?
Yeah. We had a service in the register office in Basingstoke, which was in the May after because the government approved the Civil Partnership Act in 2005,
right.
December 2005. We were the second couple to have our civil ceremony at the register office in Basingstoke, which was nice, but it was complicated because it had to be non-religious.
Right.
And they have to like look at every single thing you do. It's like, even if you do any poetry in the service, they have to look at it to make sure there's no religious
activity. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's changed a lot now because of the Same-Sex Marriage Act. So I think you can have some religious aspect to it now. But it was really nice because I had both my mum and dad there, and sadly I lost my mum to cancer.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Literally a year after.
But at least it made up when she got to see that. Of course, yeah. So, you know, at least that happened on bad terms.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she'd like, you know, before she's passed, she's seen her son get married, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She knows you're happy.
Yeah, yeah, of course, yeah. And you said about the bad times, you've got to have the good, life isn't always all about good things, is it? Good times happening. You've got to go through the bad to experience the good, and unfortunately that is one of those things, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. So that was a really nice thing, and my dad only lasted about 18 months after mum died, so we lost him as well. So that was a bit of a crap time, to be honest, because it kind of like, when you lose your parents, your life kind of changes, because that, I don't know about you, but when you have parents, like, you all, like, Christmases, birthdays, everybody like, goes around, because it's like the nucleus of the family.
Of course it is, yeah.
And as soon as we lost mum and dad, it was like all my brothers and sisters kind of like, boof, we all sort of like,
where do we go?
Yeah, of course.
So my older brother lives in Spain now, my sister lives in Southampton, and my younger brother moved away. So we go and it's funny, I see more of my older brother because I go over to Spain quite a lot to see him now, so that's nice. I get free holiday all the time. So I love it that he lives there. But I'm still in touch with my family, but it's not the same now as...
I suppose if they do all go... I suppose life's easier now with, like, WhatsApp and Facebook and all that.
I
suppose if people do... You're talking to us, and we have, me and him especially, are very Swansea-orientated people.
Yeah.
And there's not many people we know that move away. I'll make Braggs, he moved to Exeter. Fuck, he might as well be in Brisbane. Yeah, right? Seriously. And like, he moved away, it was like a big deal. But it's like people in Coronation Street, when they move away, they move to Manchester.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, no one we know, who do we know that moved away? Really, apart from Braggsy.
My sister, and that's about it.
It just don't happen really, don't you? And it's so for him to say, one brother's in Southampton, Spain, all over. It's hard work again, keeping in touch, isn't it?
It's like Christmases are really strange because my sister will often say, "Oh, I'll come up and see you Boxing Day," and then my older brother will say, "Oh, can I FaceTime you?" And because you know I'm in Spain,
yeah,
and I do this, and it's kind of, but it's not the same as when mum and dad were around.
Of course, you've got that base. You have.
It's different. Yeah.
We spoke about losing parents.
We got into the conversation. My grandfather died last Christmas, and we were very close. Paddy's mother died when he was young, and we just sort of got in a conversation about it. And you know, I'm sure you can completely understand this. Like, you don't realise how much it affects you. Like, you know what I mean? It's only like looking back now over the course of the last year that I can see how much it affected me. Like, and I'm sure you went through with losing two parents within the space of 18 months. It can affect you mentally, like, you know?
Totally. And I don't think it's like when people say, "Oh, you'll get over it." I don't think you ever get over it. It's just like, it's like, how can I put it? I use an analogy. It's like having a windscreen in the car with a slight little scratching the windscreen, or a little shard in there, and you know it's there, but it never goes away. You get used to it, but it's always there.
Yeah.
And that's how I see, like, the thing is, I've only, my mum and dad were heavy smokers, and it's funny, whenever I smell cigarette smoke, it always reminds me of my dad. I find it comforting. Yeah. And it's like little things, like their favourite song, or dad always liked mints, so if I smell mints, or like, you know, peppermints, things like that. There's always little keys that you know make you remember them, and you know, it's you do, you know, you kind of move on and you know, you carry on because that's all you have.
You've got to carry on.
You know, when, without sounding really morbid, when my mum was in a hospice for the last few days of her life, and I took time off work to go and sit with her because I knew it was like the last And I remember vividly she sat there in the bed and I sat on the bed with her and held her hand and she said to me, Martin, she said, don't ever stop doing anything you love doing. Just do everything you want to do. Enjoy every day for what it is because you don't know when it's... And I remember that. And that's part of the Naked Martin thing as well. It's like sticking two fingers up at everything and just thinking, fuck, I'm going to enjoy my life because you don't know what's around the corner. You know, it's like you put off a lot. So I'll put that off till tomorrow. I'll put that off to next year. We'll do this, but you've got today. Like, make the most of everything, of course. Because you never know. And all the relationships you have, and all the people in your life, they're not there all the time. You know, they might not be there in the years to come, and
or see, days or weeks. Yeah,
one of that mirrors this and what we've done is that. I thought about doing a podcast for a number of years up until we actually got around to doing it. And that same thing, it was sort of like, why the fuck wouldn't I do it? If only 10 people listen to one and then I never do another one, at least we had a crack.
Yeah.
And I, you know, our sort of journey to this point, meeting you, sort of your journey's going like this and our journey's going like this, and this, we just met you like this. You know, when you started your thing and we started our thing, we couldn't possibly have thought that we'd be sitting here on a Saturday afternoon doing this right now. Because 2 years ago when we started, we didn't even know who you were.
Exactly.
And a year ago when you started, you didn't even know who we were. No chance, you know what I mean?
This is the great thing about it. It's like that you'll find you come into contact with people that you've never ever have met before. And that's what I love most about Naked Martin is so many varied people that I've met over the time that I've done it, all the different situations I've been in and the places I've been able to go, and it's just been a gift, to be honest. All the, like, especially since I started doing the personal appearances, which started around February this year, and I was very worried about doing personal appearances because I did videos for ages. I'm kind of jumping ahead with the Naked Martin thing. I don't know if people realise that are listening to the podcast, but it kind of all kicked off last year when I did the World Cup video.
That's right, I remember.
With the England flag up my bum, so excuse
did it, Welsh people. Did it not? How did it originally, so although you said about the World Cup thing, it must have been something before that started.
It was. Yeah, it
so
was.
So I exactly did, like, when was the minute that, well...
You must have been sitting there one day and gone, oh, fuck, this could be a bit of a laugh.
Yeah.
I mean, what happened there? Like,
it was totally by accident. It was a close friend of mine knew I was a nudist, and it was his wife's 40th birthday. And he said to me, so he contacted me, he said, would you mind doing a naked photo of you holding a happy 40th sign? Just a cheeky little photo so I can print it on a birthday card just as a joke. So I said, yeah, okay, I'll do it. So I did it. He got it printed on a birthday card for her. And it went down absolutely. People were like cracking us. This is absolutely incredible. And I wasn't at the birthday party because I couldn't go. And he phoned me afterwards and said, would you mind? Loads of people have asked for your number because they want a photo as well.
Brilliant.
Like happy graduation, well done for passing the driving test, like happy anniversary, happy birthday. So I started getting...
Well, christenings, thank Christmas.
No, I haven't been asked to do a christening or a funeral.
So
that carried on. I literally, that went from like text to WhatsApp and people were like, and it just kind of like was snowball effect. I started getting all these numbers and people...
Did that quite quickly.
It did. And I literally did that for 2.5-3 years and I did it free of charge.
Yeah.
Just as like an ad hoc, just sort of joke because I enjoyed it. And the feedback I got from people really made me feel good because it was like, oh, I can't believe this. Thank you ever so much. You cheered everyone up. You made everyone laugh. And that made me feel good.
Gives you self-confidence.
Yeah, of course. It gives you a bit of a buzz, isn't it?
So I carried on doing that. I mean, it kind of... There was just one moment. I can't even put my finger on it. But someone said to me, would you mind doing a video? So I thought to myself, okay, I haven't done a video before. I'll try it and see how it goes. So I did a video. And then everyone saw the video. And then it kind of... The photos petered out. And the videos kind of took over. People wanted videos instead of photos. When they started asking for music and would you do a little dance and so on, use props and a hat and things like this. Then somebody said to me around the World Cup last year, would you do a World Cup video just as a joke?
I can't remember, was that the first one we saw? Because we talked about you on your...
Really?
It was I was trying to think of it this week. And I said to him, it was just the two of us doing one, and I said, have you seen Naked Martin yet? and that we had a conversation about the first video that I had seen, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But I can't remember which one it was. I think it's that one, the World Cup, England World Cup.
It went absolutely viral. I think, I mean, I wasn't even aware it went viral. Somebody contacted me and said, did you realise this had over 70,000 views at the time I saw it? And it went even further than that at the time. Someone even contacted me and said, and I don't know whether this is true or not, but they were related to one of the coaches for the England team, and apparently it was shown on the England coach.
I could imagine that, 110%.
So, yeah, I know a bunch of lads.
Yeah, 100%.
I like to think it's true, but yeah. I don't know. And then that was the key moment after that happened. I was contacted by a researcher, a BBC researcher.
Right.
And they were acting on behalf of Radio 1. And they
fantastic.
Said, would you mind, we represent Radio 1 DJ who would like you to do a video for one of the DJs who's returning after getting married. So would you mind if I...
Which DJ was it?
It's Scott Mills.
Oh, brilliant.
And he said, would you mind if I gave him your number so he'll give you a ring and have a conversation and just check with you whether it's okay to do and what he wants you to do. So I said, yeah, that's okay. And I was working at the time, so I got home from work and I said to Doug, well, I'm going to get a phone call in a minute. So we're kind of like cooking dinner. The phone went and I answered it and he said, is that Naked Martin? I said, yes, this is Scott Mills. It's not. So we had this conversation for about 15 minutes and was absolutely completely crazy, but he was such a lovely guy. And it basically, to cut a long story short, he wanted me to do a video for Chris Stark, who just got married.
Oh yeah, the guy who does the really show with him. Yeah, very good.
He was coming back to the show and it was literally just like, congratulations, Chris, and I can't remember his wife's name, but it's the listeners have missed you. This is like a little video just to say welcome back.
So I did work on the radio then.
And the Willy Wiggle sort of thing.
Well, obviously they're not putting the visual on.
They played, Scott showed him the video actually live on air.
Right, okay, so right.
He was like totally, it was completely crazy, absolutely crazy. He laughed and laughed. And he knew about me because he'd shared the World Cup video, and this is how it all came about. And he put like an excerpt on Instagram, obviously cut out the news.
Of course, yeah. Must have been a big excerpt, Matt, in all my friends' room. Took up half the screen.
and after that, it just went completely manic. My WhatsApp just went completely, it was like carnage.
So people then are sharing your phone number. So you're getting loads of random WhatsApps off people then.
Absolutely. And then that just carried on into, I mean, that was around August last year. I carried on into the autumn. I then hit a really bad time because I did a couple of videos which were shared around my workplace. I went on holiday, came back, I mean, I was suspended.
Oh, so what videos were these exactly?
These were there was one shit video.
Oh, see, this is the problem. I think this is what has become synonymous with slightly.
I would get to it.
This is the thing. I think when you see, I speak from my point of view, which parents everything. So when you see like you and I followed you on Twitter and stuff, and then you get, obviously we're in WhatsApp groups, you get this, it's another Naked Martin video, he's fucking singing a swan song or something like, right? And then all of a sudden it was like, I think the first one I saw, which I remember going, was, did you piss in a cup and tip it over your head?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, right. It's a little turn for the, you know, it's a little turn in a different direction.
Planet,
you know?
In the dark side.
Where is this going to go from here? And then next thing, it was I didn't even watch the shit sandwich, right? Because that's really not my bag at all. And I just saw enough to know that I didn't want to watch it, right? Yeah. And I'm like, oh, that's enough for me. And I'm like, after that then, I was scared to watch him because I was like, what's coming next? Yeah. Like, someone says Alabama Hockey Mask to me. I'm like, what the fuck's Alabama Hockey Mask? Can you give me the Cliff Notes?
Yeah, this is
like,
the new one to me as well.
The Alabama Hockey Mask.
Right.
It's basically, it comes from the Urban Dictionary.
Right.
And I wasn't even aware of what it was.
I never fucking knew
somebody,
this. Somebody,
oh, Taylor. Pat, prepare yourself.
Like, somebody asked me to do it and they paid me 50 quid to do it. Basically what it is you put a piece of cling film down on the floor.
Yeah.
You shit on the cling film.
Yeah.
You wrap the cling film around your head.
Christ, Bart!
and then you basically have to get out of it before you suffocate.
Fucking hell, Martin! What the fuck?
That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
But this is really quite serious because the video nearly went wrong. This is what a lot of people don't realise.
What?
No. I did it.
Well, I caught with Michael Hutchins' job.
I try and
kind of was turned in a grave.
For hygienic reasons, I try and do them in the garden if the weather's okay.
Right, yeah.
For obvious reasons.
Obviously, right.
So yeah.
Doug was out.
Poor Doug. I feel sorry for Doug. Imagine Doug coming up to that, Matt. Fucking hell, you'd have put him parking in 50 quid and fucked off.
So I'm sat there on the decking, trying to keep the cling film down. So you have to, if you put cling film outside, the minute the wind gets in,
it's not.
So I'm trying to keep the bloody cling film on the decking.
Yeah.
Managed to do my shit on the cling film.
Right.
So that's fine, okay. So he puts my cling film around the head. And you know what cling film's like, once it gets together.
Yes, it falls up. Yeah. I've done it when I wrapped my chicken tikka up the other week.
I mean, if anybody's eating right now, stop. Don't eat. But literally, the shit's in my face, my nose, my mouth. Yeah. And I couldn't get the bloody cling film off. So I'm thinking, oh my God. Literally, like, it must have only been about 30 seconds.
That's enough.
That's long.
That was enough for me to start panicking.
Because
I couldn't get the cling film off. I tried to roll it because my hands were like slipping because of all the shit.
Oh.
So I thought, well, the only thing I can literally do is stick a finger through my mouth.
Right.
So
I can get the air away.
But then, of course, I got a mouth of...
Oh, Lord.
Right. So it's just like... Oh, no.
Just take a step back a second.
Yeah,
right?
Sorry.
So, you get requests, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. How did the request start then?
So obviously, I suppose they just build, right? Because people are fucking weirdos, aren't they?
Yeah.
So the I'm sure you're going to confirm this. Mm-hmm. It's let's see how far we can push the native market.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly. That's what it is.
So it starts with the piss, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it builds up to the Alabama Rocky Mass, which is the pièce de resistance, right? But
go on.
This is a question I want to ask.
Yeah.
Is that point where the first one, the very first one, you went, someone said, Doug? Guys offered me £25 to eat a shit sandwich, is that okay with you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For one, what are you thinking? Are you thinking, oh no, I'm okay with that? Or
are you just getting carried away
with it? Just getting carried away with the whole moment of it?
I guess it was 50-50. When I was first asked, I thought, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Because it's like, people seem to assume that I enjoy the shit videos and I don't. When I did the shit video, I literally threw up after I stopped the video.
Yeah,
I can't even describe what it tastes like. But I guess it was 50-50 because I get carried away because I get like really enthusiastic because people are like, oh, I really want you to do this, and they carry on, they pester you. You don't realise how I get pestered on WhatsApp. When somebody wants something, they'll keep on at me all the time, and they'll kind of increase the price.
Yeah, really.
Because they want to see it, and that's like what I say to them. I mean, people judge me, and that's fine. That's human nature to judge people, and people judge me particularly for the shit videos. They get really nasty. I get a lot of abuse for it. But it's like what I've said to people, and I've done a podcast before with James English, which is on YouTube, and I've tried to explain it on there as well. And what I say to people when they broach the subject is that, and I'm not trying to justify what I do because it's hard to justify.
You haven't got to justify anything for anyone, so fuck up. We don't care.
No, what I say to people is don't judge me, judge the people that request it, because none of those videos are. I don't wake up in the morning so I decide to cover myself in shit or poo on a sandwich or whatever. Every single one of those is a request from a member of the public out there that wants to pay money to see it. So, and I'm not judging them. Because everyone's
a free country. Yeah.
I'm not harming anybody. I'm not, you know, I do all my videos on my own. No one gets involved. So there's no, you know, it's that's end of. But the thing is, people judge me for what I do. And I like to say, well, think about those people. And they're only what people see on WhatsApp are only the tip of the iceberg. I turn down an awful lot of requests.
I can imagine.
Because
there's some rather fucking odd ones.
I mean, without going into too much, I've had somebody ask me to simulate hanging myself. Someone wanted me to cut myself so I bled. Someone wanted me to stick a bag over my head to see how long it would take for me to suffocate. I could go on and on.
Yeah, of course.
They get actually worse and worse. And like I say to people, I'm happy to do a lot of things, but if it hurts me or puts me in danger, I won't do it. And there's a lot of things I won't, you know, I literally turned down a lot of things. And now I have the website, because a lot of people request via the website now. And there's an extreme video section on the website. And the amount of stuff, I have a business partner now who runs the website for me, and he sort of wheedles through, he kind of like acts as a go-between now. And
so he cuddles all out, you don't have to see him.
So I don't have to see a lot of what goes on, basically, and he'll respond. And if he doesn't like it, he vetoes it for me on my behalf. And he tells me, like, he gives me like a little précis of what's gone on and shows me that some of the stuff, and obviously kind of...
Because you know, you say that once you did the shit videos, right,
mm-hmm.
people got more negative with you.
Yeah.
Massively.
Absolutely.
So now you're this far down the line.
Mm-hmm.
If you could look, go, would you go and change that? Would you go, ah, no, I wouldn't have done that a second time around?
It's funny, at the time, when it all went, when the shit stuff went viral around March, April this year, and I got an awful lot of abuse, I had death threats by phone call, people saying they're going to come around and stab me.
Why would anyone want me to do that? I don't guys understand that.
One guy said, I'm going to throw acid in your face, I know where you live, and it literally did, it got to me at one point, but then I thought to myself, well, they're just trolls. But, funny enough, I've got more work out of those videos because of that, because of the
exposure.
There's no such thing as bad
pub shit.
That's right. And then it's like all of the personal appearance bookings I've had since, they all know what goes on, but they still want me there.
Of course.
And I've done, like, you know, as I said, I've done over 20 stag do's, I've done birthday parties, rugby football presentations, I've done loads of stuff, I've been all over the place, been flown all over Europe, done Benidorm, Puerto Banús, Marbella, Berlin, all these places. And all these people pay me to go, you know, to go on stag do's and stuff.
For the weekend?
It's mainly just one. It's very tiring because most of them only want me for one night. So they pay me to fly in, like, you know, they'd be there for the afternoon. I'll spend the afternoon and evening with them. Get totally off your head.
I can imagine,
Find somewhere to sleep, wake up in the morning. It's normally straight off to the airport and the next flight, flight home. So it's really bloody tiring
sometimes. But good fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've probably seen parts.
If Nicky Martin was around when we had my stag, instead of being fucking handcuffed to that
horrible dwarf, it would have been Nicky Martin. I have no doubt.
That's just what people do. The amount of times I've been handcuffed to stags. And you get some strange reactions. A lot of, I've had everything from, oh, this is absolutely brilliant, I want to hug you, to get that handcuff off, I don't want to be, you know, it does, some, there have been some bad reactions, but once they've had a drink with me and they have a chat with me and get to know me, a lot of people say, well, you're not what I expected you to be.
I can imagine that.
So, like I said, you take the notoriety of the shit videos out of it. You seem like a completely well-adjusted human being.
Way more
well-adjusted than me in this part. That's fucking certain. You're well-spoken.
Give me a few drinks, I'm not so well-adjusted.
I think you're like a proper Middle England, middle-class gentleman. You know what I mean? Who just happens to be... The internet is a crazy place.
It is. It's enabled a lot of people to do things which you wouldn't normally have done, because without that, I mean, other than standing with a sandwich board by the motorway or something, how can you get exposure? Social media and the internet has allowed anybody to become somebody.
Of course,
You know, and it, you know, it might not last for, you know, I don't know how long it's going to last. I had kind of a plan in my head that it would only last this year and it would kind of fizzled out. But I'm now taking like 6 bookings for next year already for stag do's.
Brilliant,
The videos haven't stopped. They're carrying on. And I think Christmas will probably be busy as well, because people love the Santa hat videos last year. So at the moment, it's kind of like, it's going really well and I'm still enjoying it. At the moment I don't enjoy it anymore, then obviously I know to pull the plug on it. At the moment, I love it.
So what motivates you the most? Is it the money? Is it the attention? Is it the notoriety? You know what I mean? Because obviously there's got to be a motivation for it, and it to keep
motivation
doing.
Motivation is never the money. That's never been the motivating thing, because I did it for 3 years free of charge. So that's kind of like, you know, it's kind of, and it's funny, I had to be persuaded to charge. So I didn't like charging people, but it was only because I've now got a business partner and he's kind of like got a head screwed on, and he kind of like took me on as he's kind of an agent stroke business partner. So he works with me and he saw the
potential
and he's monetized everything that I do, and I didn't like it in the first place. I wasn't too keen, but it's worked quite well. It's, you know, and it's enabled me to give up my job and do this full time, so that I can now go to all these personal appearances. Because before I was
nobody will time off and everything.
So
it's literally a full time job now.
It is pretty much so. It was back in the, I mean, it's quieting down now, but in the summer, for like June, July, and August, I was literally like flying all over the place.
Unbelievable.
Completely mad. There was a couple of weeks in August where I had a stag do every weekend, and I was also doing personal appearances during the week.
Yeah.
So it was like train, plane, car, taxi. Oh, it was just
the dug mind.
Constantly all over the place. He didn't like it at first, and also when I first explained to him about Naked Martin, we nearly split up.
Right.
This is after the marriage as well. After we got married.
Yeah, this was sort of about January, February this year.
Really?
When it all really got really big.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Foreign stuff, and I thought, I'm going to have to tell him before he finds out.
Oh, he didn't know?
He didn't know on Twitter. Because he's not really into social media and stuff.
Yeah.
So he wasn't aware of what I was doing, and how I managed to keep it a secret up till then, I never know. But I would kind of wait till he was out of the house or do it in the room where he wasn't around, quickly record a video and then open the door kind of thing. And I thought to myself, I want it to come from me and not from somebody else. Somebody to stop him in the street and say, do you realise your husband is doing all these naked videos everywhere? So,
and I don't want him to come home through suffocating in the garden. Shit, you know. We'd have it right.
My face. Yeah, that's what Barrymore did.
Yeah.
But how do you explain that to him, though, generally? Does he know about that?
Yeah.
He knows about all that. And he was okay with it all, was he?
He wasn't okay with it. No. I mean, who would be?
Yeah.
And I kind of, it took a long time to explain why, you know. Now he knows if people request it, and he doesn't want anything to do with it.
Mm.
He kind of like just thinks, "Well, I know it's there, but I don't want to know about it," kind of thing. So we don't talk about it. It just happens, and I do it when he's not around, so he doesn't have to get involved in it.
I suppose it's like having a little persona, though, isn't it?
It is.
You know, I think Naked Martin and Martin would be
two different.
You know, and I'd compare him to fucking Batman or nothing. But you know, it is like
Shatman.
Yeah. But it's two different personas.
It's a performance.
Yeah.
And I had this conversation with someone on a stag do once, and then they were saying to me, how you know, why haven't you got any self-respect for yourself doing this stuff? And I said, well, hold on a minute, it's not to do with self-respect, it's a performance. And I said, I'm no different than if you walk down Soho or Amsterdam and you see all these people performing.
Mm.
Or take Sticky Vicky in Benidorm, for instance.
Super. We made a career.
We made a career out of doing disgusting things. People paid to go and see her, and she's become like...
You couldn't go to Benidorm or go to Sticky
Vicky. No, I think her daughter does it now, doesn't she?
Sexy Barber, the worst name I've ever. The worst name ever. You know what I mean?
Have you seen The Matador?
The what?
The Matador. Seen The Matador. Right, is that the one that does the Darth Vader thing as well?
No, this is the guy, The Matador.
Right.
I saw, when I went there in, oh, Jesus Christ, it was 2000, so it was a long time, 20 years ago, right?
Yeah.
At the same place, they do a different night. So, like, Sticky Vicky's like a Tuesday, and The Matador will be like a Wednesday.
Okay.
And Sexy Barber's on
the Thursday. The same place in Benidorm.
It's all the same place, yeah. I can't remember which one it was there at the time. I think they move around, they're like, they're all part of the same show. Mm-hmm. Well, The Matador is the guy with the big Shamela, like, you know what I mean? Okay. He put him to shame, Matt. You know what I mean?
Oh my god, he's well built.
Yeah.
I was thankfully I wasn't sitting on the front row. Yeah.
Is he like that?
There's that Jamaican guy, isn't there?
The guy, right, okay, there's him as well.
In Cuba.
I can't remember his name.
In Cuba in the 50s and 60s, there was a famous guy called Superman.
Right.
And it was down to his knees. Like, apparently Marlon Brando fucked him.
Really?
That's what the story goes.
Marlon Brando's a hell of a boy.
Marlon Brando's a right character.
Yeah.
And, apparently the story goes that him and Marlon Brando was having it off, like, you know what I mean?
Really?
And he was famous in all these, I think before Castro come along. It was like Cuba was run by a corrupt general,
right.
And he had all the gangsters would come from America, right, and they would like run nightclubs and they'd plumb money into casinos and they'd come over. And Cuba was supposed to be incredible.
A bit like Benidorm for us.
Exactly, yeah, Benidorm, yeah. We had Biggie Morris going over like fucking The Matador, like, you know? Yeah, fucking unbelievable. Like, I haven't seen The Matador. I won't be signing for tickets.
No. He's finished now, is he? I don't
know, it was 19 years ago.
Really?
I was with my ex-missus. We were there going couple. I was like, you're going to see Sticky Vicky?
Oh, yeah.
And I say to my missus at the time, ah, come on, we've got to go see Sticky Vicky. What's Sticky Vicky? Oh, she pulls razor blades out of her Falula. And she's like, oh, I wouldn't have it. Why do you know? Why do you want to?
What do you got one left?
Oh, my God.
No, that's all right. Don't worry about it. I've got a fair shot.
I won't mind with that.
All right.
Do I know?
No, I'm fine. You can. And it was like, we're going to see Sticky Vicky. So we went. I said, we can't come to Benidorm without seeing Sticky Vicky.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's seen on the sign. Oh, well.
Shit, they were the Matador story.
We go into the Matador.
Yeah.
All right, okay, fair enough. I'll take it on the chin. Not literally take it on the chin. I'm quite sick.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't that open-minded as a youngster, like, but...
I just got a picture in my mind, yeah.
So, I'm trying to think what's here. Is it that much dough in it? Like the videos, everything. Obviously, it's a full-time job for you, so there must be enough money in it to...
There's enough money for me to live on it, basically.
Yeah.
It's not as rich as... People seem to get this assumption that I'm making an awful lot of money. It's not huge amounts. because it's very sporadic, it can change depending on how many videos we get and also the personal appearances. And I actually don't, for most of the personal appearances, I don't make a profit. The profit is in the video, so the videos kind of subsidise the personal appearances. Right. Personal appearances, I get enough to pay to cover most of my expenses, but once you take everything out of it, I don't really make a profit out of those. But what I get out of them is I get to meet a lot of people that I would never have met before, and I have a lot of fun. So to my mind, I still enjoy doing them, and it sort of gets me around. And
I guess a name out there,
yeah. Yeah. Well, we generally got people coming from everywhere tonight.
Apart are we from, really? Could
that? Right. So apart from, obviously, the team that me and Paddy, well, Paddy's more involved in now than I am, St. Joseph's Football Club. They got a big West Wales game today, which is a big cup game around here. Mm-hmm. So you can have two different teams in the Morris, where we drink. And then we'd be busy there anyway. Got two DJs, Paddy?
Two DJs, but right. And Naked Martin. Don't get much better than that.
And, Jay Harris, one of the boys from Swansea, he boxed in Belfast last night and won.
Wow.
Well done, Jay. And all his mob that have been in Belfast for 2 days, they're coming back and apparently coming straight to the Morris. Maxine, hey, you must get some women. Because all the women was contacting me.
Really?
Yeah, Sam. Sam Skittles, yeah. A friend to come in. Maxine, she's trying to put a crowd together. I just wonder, do you get groupies or?
I don't really know, it's funny. The thing is, like I said to you on WhatsApp, this is probably, apart from that I did a big rugby do in Leeds back in April, March, April time, this is probably one of the biggest PAs that I'm probably doing, to be honest. Because most of the PAs that I do are birthdays, football, rugby presentations, and they're kind of limited to either, if it's a football rugby presentation, it's just the team. If it's a birthday, it'll just be a group.
Yeah, of course.
Lads, sometimes it's mixed, sometimes it's not. All depends, you know, who makes up the group. Then we'll often go into town afterwards. And that's when I get to meet a lot of other people, because quite often I'll wear my Naked Martin t-shirt and people spot me and it all gets a little bit crazy sometimes. Benidorm's the worst place for it.
Oh, I better get talked
about. Yeah, I better get absolutely, there's no rest in Benidorm.
I kind of have to pre-warn. When people book me for a stag in Benidorm, I do say to them, just want you to know that when people see me and they spot me, it will get completely bonkers. I had one stag for a group of guys from Barrow-in-Furness up in Cumbria, and the stag was so nice, and I did warn him, and literally the whole night was just pestered completely by, but
really?
One stag group actually said to me, we want to pay you to take you off.
Right, yeah, like a video war. Yeah.
And it was just like they vetoed it, so no, they pulled me away, and it just, that sometimes it gets completely crazy because people love the thought that Naked Martin's there and they want a part of it, and it's like selfies all the time. We went to in Benidorm, there was another stag that I did. I can't even remember where the guys are from. I've done so many stags in Benidorm. We went to a pool party, you know, where they shoot foam onto the there was a hen party there. They spotted me the minute I walked in, so they all wanted selfies. The stag lads were getting a bit fed up because I kept getting pulled over.
Of course, yeah.
I then went to the toilet and there was a group of Scouse lads from Liverpool. They saw me. It's like, fucking Naked Martin. So they were all like, they all wanted like selfies and stuff. So I was there. I was with them for about 20-30 minutes. The stag lad said to me, where the fuck have you been? We paid for you.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, sorry. Then the Liverpool lads came down and said, oh, would you come over to the pool and do a few selfies with us? Stood by the pool doing selfies with them. Somebody pushed me straight into the pool.
Which all went on so beautifully, yeah, 100%.
I disappeared, the foam sort of went over my head.
Yeah.
I had so many beers, I was fucking drowning. waving my hands.
All
you could see was like, it was like the swamp thing. There was like these hands coming out of the foam. And one of the guys jumped in and pulled me out. And there's this really embarrassing moment. It's like Naked Martin's been drowned in this pool party.
That would have been one for the
safety of your genuinely.
I do sometimes. But there was a story that the person that pushed me into the pool was an Everton fan.
Right.
And he'd seen the video where I shit on an Everton flag.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, Mark, you're asking for fucking trouble.
Yeah.
You're lucky to get
stabbed. Yeah,
look. Yeah. Paid to do that by a Liverpool fan. And of course, he was getting his own back. So.
Right.
Yeah, but fuck me. I'm sure if you got an ounce of common sense, he knows who haven't got the fucking. He knows who won a Wembley watching the fucking double winning.
That was his moment, though. You know, he's dining out on that. Yeah, he's sitting in a pub today and he's going, Fuck, do you remember that time when Chris fucking ate about it in a pool in Mexico?
Yeah, we wouldn't be that. It would be that when he's been arrested by the Guardia Civil for fucking killing an internet sensation. You know what I mean? What the fuck?
Well, I could have, literally, if people hadn't realised I'd gone in there, I could have just disappeared under the phone, like disappeared forever.
Imagine Doug. Fucking hell, Doug would be fucking uproar.
What a way to go, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like his worst ways, man. By the Alabama fucking army guys for fucking started.
I know. And that was the first time that I got a stag tattoo. Because people are aware I get tattoos.
I did know this on stag party.
So there was a 24-hour tattoo place.
Yes, we know all about it.
That's
what I got, mate.
There was one by this pool party. The guy said, would you get a tattoo? And I said, yeah, that's fine. So I've got, I won't say his name on the podcast, he probably won't like it if I say it, but I've got the stag's name, loves dogs, on my bum.
Right, okay. Teddy loves dogs.
You can tell his boys, can you?
They all absolutely loved it. So I thought, okay, this could be like part of my stag package now.
Mark, you don't give a fuck, pal. I love it.
So I now offer out, when everybody books me for a stag, I say, well, the stag party can tattoo me with anything they like.
Fuck! For a fee, please tell me for a fee.
Well, no, it's kind of, as long as they pay the tattoo fee. It's
fuck, Mark. You don't give a fuck, man.
This is what makes it so lucrative for me, and it's like, I'm the only guy doing this crazy stuff. And I love it. Absolutely love it. So I've now got 4 stag tattoos.
Yeah.
I've got 3 on my bottom. And I've got 1 on my thigh. All crazy things.
Yeah.
And I'm still offering it out, and the stags love it. So
there'll be a lot of unemployed people that listen to this fucking podcast. They're going to become the new naked man. Yeah.
You know the one who I feel sorry for? It's fucking Doug, because Doug is doing a trumpet with a reach around, and he's got fucking Teddy Stag, like 2019, gotta put up with it. Doug is gonna fucking nightmare.
It's funny, when I get home from the hell now, he says to me, can I have a look? What have you got tattooed? Have you got now?
Fuck's sake.
So I'm like, I have to show my arse to him. So, well, this is.
So, who the fuck's that? Ryan Bagel of 2017.
You can't make this stuff up.
I'm putting you into it.
Honestly, it's what makes me unique, you know? Who else in the UK does this fucking stuff?
No, well, it was only like Jack. Jack.
The jackass mob were doing it in the early
like you love Jackass, didn't you? You're the only ones I know who had Sky. But who loved Jackass? Yeah. You know, Steve Austin. Old Jackass, yeah. Fuck, you know.
And there was the Sanchez one as well.
Sanchez.
Yes, but I suppose to a less extent, that's what you're doing, really, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. It's more a more refined version of that. But it goes down so well, and I think that's probably why the stags are my biggest earner for both videos and personal appearances.
Well, I have beaten the Marbella.
Just love it.
I have beaten Villa Marbella. You have fucking hell. No fairness.
Twice this year.
Really?
And it's great. And the second time
is Marbella really, a little bit like more civilized than Benidorm?
Yeah. Nice place. Bit more posh up. We went along the quay, Puerto Banús, where the marina is.
Lovely place, I bet.
And you should see some of the yachts. I mean, you've seen Roman Abramovich's yacht on TV. You know, like the really big one. They're even bigger than that. And they're sort of parked
in the
middle.
Make it sound like lovely.
Yeah, they're like gym palaces. And you've got literally staff there, like hosing down the boats in the morning.
Mm.
And there's like helicopters perched on top. And there's all these people sat there in their Versace sunglasses, you know, with their drinks and things. It's like a totally different way of life, you know.
So, how do they feel then when he was strutting around bollock naked then? Or have you got, like,
well, that's the thing. You can't, I mean, you have to, and I have to kind of like rein people's expectations in when I go to personal appearances. The first thing they say, why are you not naked? So, well, hold on a minute. You can't just get naked in the middle of the street. So that's where the green mankini came into being, because obviously it's like a middle.
Because let's be honest, my old man said, call up the house, you want to put fucking adverts on the fucking paper or something, fuck knows what. And I said, I can't this afternoon. I can't tell my old man naked Martin's, because it's, there's millions of people out there who never heard of you and will never hear of you. You know, so if you're strutting around with your fucking, you know, fucking chirico flying in the wind, you know what I mean? You can't, you know, some people are not going to take offence. You've got to think, what the fuck is going on here, isn't it? Yeah.
So you have to kind of rein in people's expectations, as I said, and just say to them, well, I can be naked at a venue if it's okay, If not, I can do like a quick strip. I've had a couple of stag parties that I've been to where they wanted me to do like a lap dance for the stag. Right. They blindfolded the stag and I had to do a lap dance on their lap naked. When they realised it was me, I was like, fucking hell. I was like, you're hairy. It's not a girl.
Yeah.
But then it's obviously the mankini more than anything, because I walk around Benidorm a lot in the mankini, and I've done it in Puerto Banús as well. But even then, you have to be careful. Some bars won't.
Of course, yeah.
Some people are a bit funny about it. There was one bar in, I think it was in Benidorm. They were about to say to me, sorry, you can't come in here in that mankini, and they realised who it was.
No.
And I was like, Naked Martin, no, you can come in, it's fine.
Yeah, yeah. Drinks there, yeah.
It
does
unlock some doors.
It's ending up fully loaded nachos, ever.
So it's okay, but it's kind of like I have to sort of like tread a funny ground with it. It's like, you know, people have to realise I can't be naked all the time, but obviously when I can, I will, but obviously I can't get arrested, so... You have to sort of be careful.
Yeah.
But it's really fun. The one I did in Newport just recently, a birthday party, we were in a function room above the pub and I was naked the whole time we were there. And it's really funny because all these people were popping upstairs and like putting their head around the door. Oh my God, you're naked, Ryan. And it's completely mad, to be honest. If I look back like a year and a half ago when I was just like working in a dead-end call centre, just like, you know, making ends meet. If someone had said to me, this is what you'd have been doing in a year's time, I would have said, no, get lost. That would never have happened. And look where I am. That's what I say to people, never say never, because you just don't know what's going to happen. You know, it's just like, you know, I don't know where this is going to go.
It could end tomorrow. It could end tonight. But it could also go on for a few more years.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, and even if it ended tomorrow... I could look back at it and think, fuck, all the things I've done, I would never have done those things.
Spot on.
Those experiences that I've got,
and
all the people that I've met, but which I would never have met, all these people in different walks of life. I've met some very rich people, I've met ordinary people, I've met people from all over the country, different nationalities, and it's been really amazing to have, like, you know, get into close contact with all these people. But funny enough, like, before I did the personal appearances, I've never done drugs.
Never. So I've gone to the listeners.
So it's like, in a year, just in the space of like a year, I've done all these firsts. I've done drugs. I've done all these things. I've done pool parties. I've done like crazy things. I've been dropped on my head. I've been thrown into pools. I've done like coke. I've done like, so we're in
the state. So hang on, before we skip all that, like,
let's not just brush over that.
You made a conscious effort before, or was it just like when you're with a gang? I think what it is, when you're with a gang of boys, like, you know, sort of lads, like, you just get carried away with everything else, like, is it? And just,
I guess so. And they just want, they just keep getting me drinks. And,
yeah,
and
which you would, obviously, yeah.
Your inhibitions.
Their idea was just to get me out of my head as quickly as possible, because they just want it, you know, they just want to enjoy the evening. And you know, and it does get carried away and it does get crazy, but most of the time the people that I'm with will make sure that I'm safe and looked after. There was one, I think people are aware of listening to the podcast, there was one stag do that I did in Ibiza which went terribly wrong.
Is that what, did you do cat then?
Yeah, it's the one where I got assaulted. And
you got what, assaulted?
Assaulted, yeah.
By, not by the group,
the actual stag punched me.
Really?
He wasn't that keen on me, to be honest. It was a last minute booking. It was a group of guys from South London. They said, would you come out to Ibiza? The stag really likes you, really loves your videos.
Yeah.
We'll pay for everything. Come out to, it was in Playa del Bossa. It's the Shire Hotel, the big one.
Nice hotel.
The concerts and stuff. So I got a cheap flight out from Stansted, landed in Ibiza, got a taxi to Playa del Bossa to the hotel, in reception. The guy that booked me met me and said, oh, we've all checked out. So I said, where am I going to stay now? Don't worry, we'll sort something out. Because I was going to stay with them, because they had a suite of rooms.
Yeah.
So he said, go and find somewhere to eat, and we'll find out where the stag is, and then we'll let you know, and you'll come so you can meet the stag. So I went and got something to eat, and they came and found me about an hour later. So the stag's on top of the Ushuaia Hotel on the rooftop
bar. Yeah.
But be careful, he's out of his head. He's been on drugs all day.
Oh, right.
So he said, get in the mankini, and he said, come up with us, and then go behind him, sort of hug him from behind, and he'll turn around and he'll see where it is. I said, okay, that's fine. So I did that, knowing what, he turned around and he looked at, took one look at me, bang straight in the face.
He banged it, yeah.
Yeah, and I literally, I kind of, because I was like, kind of knocked a bit, like, I couldn't quite understand what was happening at the time. I kind of like spun around and he fell on the floor. He circled around and there was this massive big statue next to him. This tray with tea lights on it. It was like typical of beaver sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was a dragon or something like that. He knocked it flying. It landed on the tile floor and literally smashed into smithereens. All this like, and the statue must have cost like thousands.
Yeah.
All the staff sort of like came onto the scene and they started threatening the police. They said, "We're going to get the, you know, the police involved because you smashed a statue." So I'm like, it wasn't me, it was that guy.
Oh, they started blaming you?
Yeah, started blaming me. Oh, yeah. But actually, I was in my mankini. They held me, stuff cut up my nose as well.
Oh, the stag.
Just to make the situation better.
Was this before or after?
This was after I got punched.
Right.
And I have done ket before. I'm not going to tell a lie. I'm not some amazing saint.
Yeah.
But this was like real, like a beef of strength ket. This was like...
Right.
I think it was what people call rhino ket or something.
I would have no idea, generally.
Yeah. Literally, within 10 minutes, I couldn't even stand up. That's how bad it was. I was on my
ass. Well, I mean, they actually held you down and made you, like, that's nasty.
I know, it's horrible. And they all laughed and walked off, and there was me stuck there on the bar stool.
Yeah.
Thinking, what the fuck am I going to do now? I've got nowhere to stay, stuck in a beaver.
Yeah.
I had a flight booked home for the next day, but I thought, what am I going to do? I can't even walk straight. So I literally got off the bar stool and then he fell on the floor, sort of holding onto the wall because the floor was moving.
Right. And was this video or something, was it?
This is why I never fancied Ket.
Right.
Because I just don't even got control over his life.
Yeah, that's like, always the worry. Yeah.
Basically an anaesthetic, isn't it, really?
Really? It's not. Of course, it's horse tranquilizer.
Yeah, my missus watches those fucking helicopter ER fucking things all the time. And they always go, right, give us some ketamine. You know, someone's broke their leg, got a right horse or something. Yeah, give us some ketamine.
I don't understand why people use it recreationally, but some people love it. But I had such a bad experience.
Yeah, I get to live my life without that.
I managed to get outside the reception of the hotel.
Yeah. Are you naked at this time as well?
No, I literally got my shorts and t-shirt on.
Right,
this time,
okay.
Thankfully.
That's why you didn't recognise it.
I had them in my backpack, so I managed to get those on. I was outside the front of the hotel, and they weren't very... I was throwing up, basically. Vomiting.
Yeah, but you've got to understand, they probably just think you're some fucking guy who's out of his chunk, innit?
Yeah,
they're not going to say, fuck, we better look after this guy. Yeah, like, you know, he's in a bit of a bad place. They see it fucking and 15 times a day. Yeah,
it was I was literally choking on my vomit. That's how bad it was.
Fuck me.
I know. So it could have been a really bad outcome. Luckily, one of the
fuck
guys...
Fuck, it's like Evel Knievel. You lot of fucking...
Care dealers all over Swansea going out of business.
Yeah.
So one of the guys in the stack realised what was going on and he came over and held my head up and he said, no, this is not right, I'm going to get you a cab. And he got me a cab and we went into San Antonio together and he paid for a hotel room for me.
Oh, well, there's some good guys. There's some
nice guys around. And I got up to the room, I fell on the bed and I passed out. I don't remember much. I remember getting up the next morning, I had a shower. I paid for a taxi to Ibiza Airport and I was literally like sat in the departure lounge. I was bruised on the front of my face. And I just completely, I was upset and I couldn't talk to Doug because I thought if I'm going to get really upset.
And how do you explain that to Doug? Yeah, Doug, the drug, you won't know what's that. You know what I mean? You can't. It's one of them where, especially if you don't know exactly what he'd do, it'd be quite hard to explain, wouldn't it? Yeah. You know, you're literally on your own there.
Totally.
Yeah.
Besides, he says to me, I don't mind you going anywhere on these personal appearances, but you must stay safe.
Yeah.
Which is not always easy to do sometimes because I'm on my own and
it's another one of those extreme things.
Yeah,
like you know, if you get a group of good boys and they just get you pissed, and then the next people they don't want to just get you pissed, they want to get you charlied up, and the next people want to go, well, let's chuck a couple of pills in him, and then the next thing it's Ket and fucking God knows you'd be fucking chasing a dragon next. He didn't die for nothing and all that.
That's right. And I kind of like I've also learned I'm not so naive now either because I've had so many experiences. So I kind of like. I know when to call time out.
Yeah.
And I literally, it's like when I was in Newport a couple of weeks back and we went into town afterwards and we were out till nearly 3 o'clock in the morning. We went to a nightclub and I was dancing away and literally it got to about 2:30 and I thought, I feel absolutely completely fucked out of my head. I don't know how many drinks I'd had some coke, I'd had something else, I'd had a tablet or something. I can't even remember, to be honest. I know it sounds awful, doesn't it?
But bitch!
My tea time up a lot.
It actually sounds great.
Oh, what haven't you done? Because I'll make a couple of calls, we'll get it dropped up a modest number.
Norman, who big names have we got to be ashamed of him? We actually got proud of him.
When I did, you know the one I was talking about, the stag in Puerto Banús, where they hired a big villa. They ordered the Coke and the Coke arrived on a silver tray.
Like a Ferrero Rocher advert.
Different level of drug dealer.
They were sniffing Coke off everything. Any kitchen implement, anything.
Mark, they sniffed it off a cock, mate. Now I know. Sniffed it off a kitchen table.
It was the most extravagant stag do, because I don't know how much that lot cost. But it was it was like a pile of mashed potato, the cocaine.
No way.
And we Montana style.
Bodging a badger smash. No, let me do that.
I mean, you know, these guys must have been very rich, that's all I can say.
Yeah, well, no, mate, just got a villa in Port of Ross.
I know.
Fuck, if they want to hire me for their next tag,
Not quite sure how we can top naked that.
No, it's very true. Nobody wants to see me fucking naked. Have you had, because obviously you use social media now, have you had celebrities reacting to your things?
Yeah, I've had, what's her name? I can't remember her name now. Oh, it's an American singer. She follows me. Oh,
Celine Dion?
No.
She's Canadian.
All right, Fuck me. Sorry.
It's a completely different country, right?
Sorry, the Mumpty.
I can't remember her name. I keep wanting to say Taylor Swift. It's not Taylor Swift. It's like her, but it's
Miley Cyrus.
I nearly had it then. Not Miley Cyrus. It's another one like that.
This is the big one.
No, I can't think of her name. Oh, it'll come to me in a minute.
Yeah.
But she follows me on Twitter, and somebody pointed out that she did, so I followed her, and I DM'd her, and I said, would you mind if I danced to one of your songs? And I got a reply.
No.
Yeah. Say yes, that's absolutely fine, as long as you credit me in the tweet. And I couldn't believe it. And I said to Lewis, my partner, business partner, and he said, are you sure that's actually her reply? And I said, well, I don't know.
This is a Twitter account. It might be someone, it might be a Lewis, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's also an American comedian who I can't even remember his name now.
That's all I can.
I'm used to somebody. I remember all these names. But he retweeted one of my videos earlier this year, which went viral, and I got a load of American followers. I've also had an inquiry from a comedy channel in the States, and they're interested in featuring me on Tosh 2.0, but they're still trying to... It's an American comedian.
Right.
They build a sketch show around an internet sensation.
Right.
They have all these different people on the show, and they'd seen my videos, and they contacted through the website. And they're interested in having me on one of the shows, but it's kind of, we're still trying to negotiate with them when it happens. And
oh, don't tell yourself that.
That would be completely mad if it does.
Yeah. Imagine Nicky Martin cracking America. That would be fucking, don't get me wrong, getting chased out of Texas. Yeah. But everyone else, like Ohio and all that.
The Bible Belt. Yeah. Get the fuck away from that.
But Mississippi Gurney.
We'll go to Alabama. Let's not mention that again. I recently got an invite to go and judge Rinder, which was like...
Captain Beanie was on it.
Captain Beanie was on Judge Rinder.
And I had this, we had, because my business partner was in on the telephone, we did a conference call with the guy from ITV, and when we found out what it was, on Judge Rinder, because I haven't got a case.
I
think they work around. I don't think Judge Rinder's even a real judge. No, but
it's all a bit of fucking jazz.
The researcher from ITV said you can't be fictitious. It's got to be something.
Right, you've got to have a beef with someone. Like.
And I can't, for the life of me, I cannot think of any situation that I'm in where I owe somebody money or somebody owes me money.
I tell you what, we'll have that cunt from South London. We'll have him up on a GBH charge, little bastard, what he is.
So we left that, so it was kind of like, it might have happened if I had something.
Yeah.
I can't think. And to be honest, when I've watched Judge Rinder, I can't really see myself on it. I think I'd get annoyed with him.
So. Yeah, he's not my cup of tea.
When he gets a bit accusatory and he starts accusing me.
Well, it's the Jeremy Kyle thing, isn't it? Jeremy Kyle's on his eyeballs and all that. Mm. Isn't Jeremy Kyle been pulled there?
So this really? Is kind of like, it's like the new Jeremy Kyle almost.
Yeah.
Because people go, I watched one just recently, and it was a couple of people that put money into a sandwich shop, and they were getting really, they were like slagging each other.
Hang on, you don't want to get into that. That's not going to be a top.
I can't see anyone taking you a sandwich shop.
I can't imagine the specials on a Monday on that fucking shop, let me tell you.
we'll stick to panini so I can't see myself on that, to be honest.
What's some of the...
It's nice to get an invite.
Oh, amazing, man. What's some of the craziest stunts you've done? Someone told me one about the Mentos.
Oh, the Mentos and Coke.
Right.
Yes.
You'd not obviously know, you'd obviously not seen internet videos of this before, then, is this? So what did they ask you to do?
So they asked me to... You obviously, you've seen it when you put Mentos in Coke. And
I have,
explosions.
Yeah.
But you hadn't seen it at the time.
So you didn't...
Well, I was just kind of aware of what it would do and everything. And I said to the guy that asked me to do it, I said to him, does it have to be Diet Coke or fat, you know, normal Coke? And I think we decided it had to be normal Coke because of the sugar content reacts with the Mentos.
Right.
Or something. I don't know. Don't really understand the chemical reaction. So I said, okay, that's fine, I'll do it. So I was still working at the time, so I got home from work in the garden, tube of Mentos, stuck two Mentos up my arse,
right,
put the Coke up there and squirted it up there.
Right.
Waited literally 10, 15 seconds and you can feel the combustion. No
way. Right.
And it kind of shoots out like really...
Fuck! Like, you're lucky to blow yourself up.
And it come out and it kind of, I thought to myself, oh, this is a bit like crap, I'm going to do it a second time. So I did it a second time.
Right.
Two Mentos in there, did it, and I stuck even more Coke in there. Yeah. Like half a bottle. And it literally, like, honestly, the sound, but I could feel it going up inside
Lord.
Oh, my God.
So I thought to myself, oh, I think I've gone too far here. I've got a really good reaction. It
but
shot
this is the
out.
Story of my life, mate. I think I've gone a bit too far here.
It's always a bit late, isn't it? It's not... things coming, like, you know.
Mate, Doug the drunk don't know what's going on, does he? Doug the drunk don't know what goes on.
Doug's going for the fucking Bacardi and Coke.
That's been what we decided to Mentos. Yeah. And it literally shot the Mentos out over the lawn. If anybody's, they've probably seen the video on WhatsApp, but literally, I did the first and the second videos, and they're both on WhatsApp somewhere. If anybody wants it, they can ask me for it.
So
the second one, it actually shoots the Mentos out. You can see the
explosion. Really? They do fly up the arse?
Fly out of the arse. But the worst part about it was, I was literally for about 48 hours afterwards, I was in terrible pain.
Fuck, I can imagine what.
Literally, like, the combustion doesn't go out just one way, it goes up the other way as
well. Well, listen, it would have gone on, like, I suppose, what would happen if you had two Mentos and drunk a bottle of Coke? It would be like John Hurt, an alien, wouldn't it? Like, where's he going to fucking go? This is what, you wouldn't even think. I could give my daughter a Mentos and say I'm a drop coke and fucking bust the fucking ribs up.
Yeah. Exactly, I know.
You know.
And this was the thing, and I was literally leaking coke out of my arse for like 24 hours.
Fuck, no way.
I normally sleep naked. I slept with pants on and some tissue up my arse.
Really?
Because coke was leaking out. That's how bad it was.
Fuck.
And I was in so much pain. And I read afterwards, so I did this with some search on the internet, and there was a guy in the States actually had to go to ER afterwards, he did it, to have an emergency venting procedure. Because what it does is the air goes up inside your, I think it blows up your colon and your bowel, it's sort of, because the air goes up.
Right. Well. Fuck!
Because that's what people don't think. When they think about it, combustion doesn't just go out one way, it goes up both ways.
Yeah.
And because inside your bowel is not sealed, so it goes straight up. And that's what happened to me. The second attempt, I put so much coke in there, and the combustion I got was like really, really big. And obviously, it just shot everything up inside me. So that's one stunt I'm never
not doing again.
Because that was really dangerous. Really dangerous.
So tell us, because we haven't talked about the story of how you got to know about us.
Okay, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you tell our story.
Yeah. So that was, obviously, I've touched on, I went to Newport a few weeks ago and did a birthday party. On the day after, I was getting the train home, and I got on the train at Newport, on the Salisbury train, and it was filled with Swansea City fans. They were on their way to Bristol.
Of course, yeah. It was such a great day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Scotty Willett and Crow and all them, loving it.
And I literally got on the train, somebody spotted that it was me, and I heard this, like, cheer. Was, oh, fucking hell, it's Naked Martin on the train. No, it can't be. And I literally worked, literally standing room only on the train. That's how chocolate it was.
This is what does my head in about trains really now. It's a terrible fucking service. Yeah. In 97, when we started going to London for gigs, you get on a train in Swansea, you guaranteed
a seat.
Normally a seat. You guaranteed a table, which was handy for the fan ketamine in them days. Like you guaranteed a table. No.
Somewhere to put your Mentos.
No, you can't get a fucking chair. It's fucking terrible, I was trying, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Yeah. And all these guys were like coming forward, saying, oh, fucking hell, it's Naked Martin, because they were wanting to see it was me. And they were all trying to shuffle down the train.
Yeah.
There's people literally standing in the aisles.
Of course, yeah.
And I must have done at least 10, 15 selfies. And all these guys were obviously like tweeting my photo everywhere. And someone tweeted it and tagged in your podcast. Yeah, yeah. And that's how I found out about it. And I remember doing the Swansea City video back in January, February, March time. And I did like, I had a whole load of football videos, one after the other. So I had all these people that asking me to do football videos. And I was contacted by a lot of Swansea City fans, and they said, would you do a Swansea video? So I did it at the time, and it didn't really do much, it didn't go anywhere as such. And I remembered I did it, and I thought, oh, this isn't a time to capitalise on it, because it seemed to have a lot of fans in
Swansea. Yeah.
They all went completely bonkers, so I thought, okay, and they tagged me on to your podcast,
because you tagged us into it, didn't you? Yeah. Reposted that.
That's right.
Then I retweeted it, and I messaged Paddy, and they said, because I messaged Paddy in the morning to say, Nathan Martin's following us. And then you reposted that video, and I went, should we get Nathan Martin on the podcast or what? And I thought, like you say, we talked about it in the car, and we had when we started this, we had no idea that we'd do 5 podcasts, let alone 87, and let alone have the people on you that we've had. Mm-hmm. So even with yourself, I was like, you can't get Nathan Martin, it's fucking Nathan Martin. I didn't even know where fucking Nathan Martin lives. But all I know is that Nathan Martin doesn't live anywhere near me, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I thought, I said, Paddy, well, fuck it, go on. You may as well ask, we've got to lose, because that's basically been our mantra.
Oh, yeah, because this happened within the space of 2 weeks, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
It went from 0 to 30. They're like the mentals up your ass.
Yeah.
It went from 0 to 30 in 2 seconds.
It was just like, just get fucking it. I'll ask it. And you obviously said, yeah.
Literally, there was no, I'm not sure, I'll have to let you know. It was, no, 100%, I'd love to do that.
Yeah,
and I was like, fucking up, Pat. Nate and I was done to do the podcast. And obviously, went on holiday, and then rearranged it, and you know, like we know that there was a tad of negativity, right, about you coming on here, and it was, and genuinely, if you look at it, it was 1%, right, compared to 99%,
exactly,
massively fucking positive. But what you find with any negativity is the negativity screams louder than the positive.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And especially for us, because we've had such positive, we've been very lucky that we've had majority positive ever since we've started. So the negative then stands out more. If we were getting negative from the start, and we would be used to it by now, and we wouldn't pay no attention. So when the negativity came, it was like, fuck, are we doing the right fucking thing here? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And obviously me and you had the conversation, because
I got worried.
You got,
I thought it was going to have an effect on your podcast, and I didn't want your podcast, you know, with the negativity. Whatever I do, unfortunately, I do get a lot of negativity. I'm going to say a lot, but I do get, you know, a proportion of everything I do gets a little bit of negativity, and I get abusive tweets and stuff. And I know that sort of comes with the territory, because people judge me for everything I do. Mm-hmm. And I knew that would happen. I kind of thought, hopefully it doesn't happen too much. But when I saw a lot of the tweets, I thought, I'm going to have to contact you and just give you the opportunity.
Yeah, no, and that's enough. But
if,
like,
you wanted to pull it,
think by now, if they've listened to all these podcasts at this point, it's pointless fucking telling us anything, because we'll do what we fucking want to do. Right, it's as simple as that. So, you know, it wasn't like we had Myra and Lee fucking coming in yet.
We got planned for next week.
She's going to let me know later on.
It all depends if she gets pulled on Judge Rinder.
Right. But, you know, I got to be honest, I didn't really consider the negativity. It was only when it came, and then I was like, fuck, even question myself. I was like, is this the right thing to do? And then I was like, no, fuck, am I not going to be, I don't get dictated to by anyone except my fucking wife, right? So I'm not going to get other people dictated to me, like, on what I'm going to do and what I'm not going to do, like. Yeah. And I hope now, like, after doing this, is that people will realise you just, apart from the crazy life that you've got, are quite a normal bloke.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, behind it all.
It's funny, a lot of people accuse me of having mental health problems or not being sane or whatever, but I'm completely sane. I understand everything that I do, but I'm a performance act. It's part of the act. Unfortunately, people judge that, but let them judge it. The thing is, at the end of the day, we only have one life. If I took notice of everything that people said, I would probably just sit in the corner and cry and not bother doing anything. But
spot on.
I think, fuck it. I'm going to stick 2 fingers up at people, whatever they think, and just do whatever I do, because there is a high proportion of people still love everything I do. Not everything, but it still cheers people up. People love it. There is a place for Naked Martin at the moment. And it's not all about the shit and the stunts and stuff. 98% of what I do are videos giving people happy birthday greetings, happy anniversary, happy wedding, happy graduation, well done for passing your driving test. And the feedback I get is amazing. The people that say, you've made my day, you've really cheered me up, that my birthday has been made forever. And that makes me feel so good that I've cheered, that I've made somebody's day, just for wiggling my willy about. Makes people, you know, it makes people laugh because male nudity does
just that. Saying wiggling your willy about my trailer's fun.
A naked man people find funny, you know, and that's what I kind of like linked into. That's what the whole thing is about. And also I like to think, well, I don't promote it enough, but that's probably something I should do as well, is part of the Naked Martin thing is about accepting your body, no matter what you look like, and being proud of who you are and not worrying about what everybody thinks. Because we're so obsessed these days with how everybody looks. Everybody's obsessed about looking good, about making your teeth white, about losing weight, about having your pecs up or having a six pack or looking good, having makeup on, wearing this, wearing that, wearing this label, wearing that label. At the end of the day, we're all fucking human beings. We all come, you know, we're fat, thin, hairy, bald, whatever. We're not all good looking. We're not all Hollywood film stars. We all got something that's not amazingly good about us. We're not all good looking. But at the end of the day, we're all humans and we all get along on this planet and we're all living and doing the same thing. Why should you be made to feel like you're a second-class citizen just because you don't look good or your teeth are not so white or you're not wearing a fashion label that's really cool or stuff? So that's part of the Naked Martin thing, is like sticking two fingers up at the fashion industry, at the magazines that encourage you to look good, because that affects people's mental health. And the mental health issue is another big thing I like to, because I've been there, I've suffered from bad mental health in the past. So being naked has enabled me to get back my self-esteem.
Right.
I feel good about myself. Because when you're naked, no one can judge you for what you're wearing. Because the minute you put clothes on, people judge you. They make judgments about where you come from, how much money you earn, where, you know, how you've been brought up. If you appear in a lot of sportswear, people make a judgment about you. Or if you wear a lot of fashion labels, people make a judgment about you. They decide where you come from or what you do. The minute you're naked, people can't judge you for that anymore. You're just about you. And then when I go to naturist events, you can talk to somebody. You might be talking to somebody who's a lawyer or a doctor or a teacher. You don't know that because they're naked and they're just a person. And that's, to me, that's what is so liberating about being naked.
Takes everyone back to ground zero, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Because we're human beings.
We are obsessed with clothes.
Yes.
Right, the way, as
I'm literally going to throw my Stone Island jacket and fucking bin after that.
As a working class, especially where we're from, maybe it's different generations, I don't know, but with my generation, or certainly with me, it's football, it's music, probably boxing, say, and clothes, isn't it?
Yeah.
And when you look at it all, when you strip it all back, it's especially the clothes thing, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Right?
I know it's ridiculous. Yeah. And I don't buy clothes to impress my missus or impress other
people. You do it because it makes you feel good.
I half the time, I buy clothes to impress other fucking boys.
Yeah.
So the boys think, he's a fucking cool guy because of what he's wearing. And it is absolutely ludicrous.
Because
I give all my old clothes to my father.
And it's been developed by the fashion industry. Crazy. To make you feel like you fit in because you're wearing this particular label.
I give my father all my old clothes. Mm-hmm. When he's going down his allotment, he looks the coolest 7-year-old.
Stone
Island jeans, Paul and Shark jumpers. When he comes for a meal, He looks fucking terrible. He's like the man in that one day. He's got his cream chinos, he's got his fucking cowboy hat on, he looks a fucking mess. You know what I mean? But in a funny old, like when you strip it down to that, I'm saying, you just, when you all in this like naturist place, whatever you are, and everyone's just talking, no one knows what everyone does, or no one judges people by what they're wearing or trainers they got.
Once you get past that thing of thinking, fuck, everybody's naked, thing is, we all come in two different, you know, we've either got a penis or we've got a vagina or whatever. Once you get past that at the end of the day, forget about the embarrassment factor, you're just talking to a person. You're not judging them for what they're wearing, they're just another person. And it's difficult for anybody that's not been in a naturist kind of situation to understand what that feels like, but it's the most liberating feeling, to be honest, ever, to talk to, you know, to be in a crowd of people that are completely naked, and you can just have an ordinary conversation about anything and not feel like you're being judged for what you're wearing. And it's that, to me, is the most amazing feeling, you know? So it's like, I guess the whole Naked Martin thing is like an onion, really. You peeled off all the different layers, and you know, some of it is the performance act, some of it's the video, some of it is, you know, is being a naturist, some of it is, you know, is being gay, some of it is, it's all different things which make up the whole Naked Martin thing. And whatever I do, I'm going to get judged. So,
but all about the mental health thing. The same person who would like put on Facebook Mental Health Week will also probably go on your DMs and fucking slag you off, which baffles me.
Because it can't be one of the.
There's so many people will put on, it's Mental Health Day, fucking raise awareness and all, be nice to people, and then we'll go into someone and call them a cunt on social media.
Absolutely.
To me, the two don't go hand in hand. You either one or the other.
I can't remember the last time that something offended me so much that I went on social media to go directly at that person.
I don't think I've ever done it.
I can't say that.
I mean that. You have with the Swans who
constantly. There's a difference.
Right, go on.
So like if I call a fucking Swans player a minge because I'm in the moment, I'm watching a game and he's been a cunt, I never went tagged Wayne Routledge. Routledge, you're the fucking useless cunt.
It's the same as if you're in the pub and you just say
that.
And I got to be honest, over the last probably year or so, maybe
you've done it a lot less.
I've done it a lot less. Because I think you learn all the time, don't you? You know, you're talking about, if you looked at my fucking Facebook from 2009.
Spotbot, right?
Yeah.
If your Facebook memories come up, and if you scroll through them, your last couple of years, it won't even be mostly mine. They're just photos of like kids. Gwen and kids and this and that. But if you go back to my fucking Facebook post from 2009, it's pathetic. I find myself deleting them. Do you know what I mean? I go, fucking hell, right? Yeah, what were you talking about? You fucking idiot.
That's why you're good. But it's like, you grow up, don't you?
Right, so you've got to grow up, and you've got to learn, and you've got to fucking embrace a bit of change. Like, you know, I like to think that at least, if nothing else in my life, that I've sort of learned that side of things. So you see now, and I think, you know, if you took my tweets from fucking 4 years ago about the Swans to now, They choke and cheese, you know what I mean? Yeah. So,
well, didn't it happen with Kevin Hart, the comedian? Kevin Hart was supposed to present the Grammys or the Oscars.
He made a joke.
And he made a joke in 2004, and someone pulled it up. And if you go through anyone's social media back to that far, you're going to find they pulled it up and they said he made a racist joke. And Kevin Hart got pulled off the Oscars or Grammys.
It wasn't even racist, it was a homophobic joke.
Oh, right, homophobic.
But it was a joke.
Yeah, you know, he's a fucking comedian.
I think things get taken out of context. There's a famous quote from Stephen Fry, I can't remember exactly what he put, but I think it was something to do with people being offended. And he said, Stephen Fry said, that people aren't really offended, it's just that they don't. I'm trying to think of what he said now, but it's something to do with them just not liking what they said.
Yeah.
So they then say, oh, that's offensive. But it's not really that it's offended them.
Yeah.
And it's like we've become so politically correct.
We live in an offence culture now.
Can't we say anything without checking? And it's like, I mean, you know, I grew up in the 1970s, and I used to think some of the comedy that was on TV then, it was racist, homophobic.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the...
Still funny.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like the Alf Garnett stuff.
Yeah.
They can't even show it on TV.
No, I was watching an episode of Are You Being Served just recently, you know, in the department store.
Yeah, of course.
John Inman and stuff. And it's full of like innuendos, sexual innuendos, homophobia, sexism. And
John Inman was huge at the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The show was completely massive. You think you took a lot of those jokes out of context, out of that show, and if you put them on social media, you'd be accused of being racist, homophobic, sexist, everything. But in that context, it was funny.
Yeah.
So the Carry On films. You look at a Carry On film now, and you think, how on earth did they allow that stuff through? But it was funny at the time, and it's kind of, I think as a society, we've all become too sensitive to things, and it's gone too far, I think. You can still make a joke, as long as it's not, it doesn't get personal. You can still see the funny side of things. You know, otherwise you could literally get offensive about everything.
I think, just from meeting you in the last 2 hours, I think you could definitely take the piss out of yourself.
You know, I think he could laugh at himself, which is a big factor for us. You know what I mean?
That to me, you know, I accept banter, and I love it. To me, it doesn't worry me if people take the piss out of me because I know it's funny.
Yeah.
That doesn't worry me at all. It's when it gets abusive, that's when I don't like it. It's like, I laughed today. Somebody tweeted me on that. I put a tweet saying that I'm on my way to Swansea, hashtag Naked Mountain, hashtag Swansea. Somebody replied to the tweet and said, why don't you turn around now and fuck off?
Right.
Okay. And I looked at the tweet and I'm like, oh, you're funny. And just closed it, because that's just like, it's pure. Why do it? It doesn't, you know.
They've obviously beaten them honest.
Yeah, that's it. They're trying to fucking warn you off.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, I don't care. I thought, I'm not even going to reply to it because it doesn't deserve a reply. And it's just like, you know, that it comes with the territory. And if I was too sensitive about half this stuff, I wouldn't do it. You kind of have to, like, you have to become a bit thick-skinned.
Yeah, of course. So,
and hopefully now, after the last hour and a half of us sitting here as three men and just having a fucking conversation and having a bit of a fucking laugh, people can see that you're quite normal, bro.
If you, I knew in, it's because of last week. We
were
like
expecting to be a crackpot.
No, I knew we were going to be normal. I knew we were going to be a normal Middle England gentleman, which is exactly what we turned out to be.
Yeah.
Last week, like you said, we listened to it before, like, Cat Nabini, another,
he's a really nice guy.
Ooh, let me tell you, also would probably, people who've never met him would give him a stick, right, and of course call him, oh, weirdo, this and that, you know.
Look at all the money he's raised.
Look at the guy, he's a lovely fella. Me and him come out, we didn't stop smiling till Sunday. And that's because my missus cooked dinner and she's
We did the podcast, we came out, we recorded in the car as we were travelling back, saying how much of a nice guy he was. And then the next day, the response we had was fucking amazing. And we were both chuffed, like, we were messaging each other back and forth, and fucking, I'm so chuffed that people liked Cat and Beanie, because we were immediately, were like drawn to him and how much of a nice guy he was. And I think the same here.
Exactly the same.
You know what I mean?
Exactly the same.
So, you know, look, things you've done, Cat and Beanie's not raising money the way you've done things, maybe. So, you know, maybe he's going to survive that side of the thing. It's something that probably you're going to have to live with now for however long Naked Martin continues on and grows or whatever happens. Like, you know, but like you said, the more it happens, the less you'll give a fuck about it.
Absolutely. Well, I wouldn't do it, to be honest. If I worried too much about it and worried what people thought about me, I wouldn't do it. So, at the end of the day, I still enjoy doing it, and I love the feedback that I get, and I love it that I make somebody's day. To me, just to do 1 2-minute video wishing somebody a happy birthday, that makes their day. For me, that makes me feel really good about myself and makes them feel really happy. So to me, that's job done.
Plus as well, you said 1 minute you sit in, and let's be honest, me and him have got dead end jobs, you know what I mean? It don't matter, it suits us. Who has the odd holiday now and again, as long as we've got enough money for a couple of pints and the kids got everything, that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. But like you said, it was in a dead end call centre job, which you'd still be in now, doing nothing, and all of a sudden now we're doing something where you've fucking been all over Europe, right? Mm-hmm. As you said, you something bring enjoyment to people's day, you know what I mean? Who's the fucking real winner? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As long as you're enjoying what you're doing, which 100% I can tell that you are. You know what I mean? You are. I can tell by your face, like, fuck, some of the videos you've done been crackers. We nearly fucking lost you, Mark. You and Ryan were side to side with Doug the Drunk in the funeral. Would have been the
like candle and stuff.
Exactly, right? You would have been the people's princess, right? But we can tell you're enjoying what you're doing, man. And fucking absolutely. Long may continues.
It's completely mad. And I still think it's crazy sometimes. And I still get really chuffed when people recognise me. And it happens more and more now. And I still get surprised over it. I was in, I did one recently, I did a funny stag do where I had to, a guy was bundled into a London cab.
That's a kidnapping.
Yeah.
I was paid to go into a London cab, stripped naked. The cab driver knew who I was, so he was fine about it. And they were picking this guy up, he worked in the city, and they were bundling him out of the station into the taxi with me, blindfolded.
Yeah.
And he took his blindfold off, and there was me sat on the seat completely naked. And he tried to get back out the car.
Oh, never!
Did the taxi driver warn you about the silent charge? You see your videos, Martin?
Yeah.
He loved it. He was not ready, did he?
Photos and stuff. He was like, "Oh my god, I can't believe I'm naked, Martin, in the back of my cab."
Yeah.
So we drove down to Gatwick because he was getting a flight. The guys didn't tell him where he was going, so I had to like pretend where I was, you know, I was going with him and stuff. And we got to Gatwick and we did photos outside the hotel in my mankini, and all these people recognised me. They all wanted photos and stuff, and it was crazy. And I got back to London.
Like the fucking Beatles turning
up. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was mad. Got to Paddington State, not Paddington. Was it Paddington? Where did I go to? Victoria. Got the train from Gatwick to Victoria. Loads of people at Victoria recognised me. I was in Wetherspoons eating breakfast. I was like, Naked Martin, can we have a photo, please?
I don't think they wouldn't recognise you with your clock,
but
I'm not.
But I still find it really, really. I get really chuffed. It's like, because it, to me, it's like, I'm not, it doesn't go to my head. I'm not a big headed person.
Yeah.
I never will be. To me, I'm not a celebrity. I'm just still an ordinary person. I don't see myself as that. I've just become a little bit infamous on the
internet. Yeah, of course, yeah.
And when people recognise me, I do find it really, I get really, it was on the train down, somebody recognised me and took
really?
A photo.
Knew that he was coming down for the podcast.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
So we're a big deal in this neck. You've gone to the SA postal code, to be fucked. But we're all right, don't you? Right, Mark, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Brilliant.
We're going to go on a piss or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mark.
It's a pleasure.
Top man, Mark. Pleasure, Paddy.
Nice to meet you both.
And thank you very much. You didn't have to come all this way.
No, Christ, no.
Do us a favour again for a bit of content.
Thank you ever so much for allowing me to come on. And it's been really, really fun. And it's nice to get my story across.
Of course it is, yeah.
What makes me tick, that's more to me than just the videos. And hopefully people will understand me a little bit more now. So that's a good dog. I've had this opportunity to do that.
Great, man.
Let's go and have a fucking beer.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here.
Well, more than a beer. Couple of grams of tech.
No
Lady
Martin. No cling film.
Yeah.
No fucking cling film. John will have you fucking banned. Nobody's 7 o'clock. Right, we're out of here.
Peace.